Hello and welcome to Close Quarters with me, Luciana Berger.
And me, Rebecca Simon. Our time in the week to guide you through as best we can with your help, how we're all managing through lockdown and beyond with everything that's going on in our lives, living in what can only be described as very close quarters with our family. This is our podcast to get our sisterhood through these pretty testing times.
And I am so delighted that we got to have a chat with my very good friend, Nikki Austin, who not only is a great friend of mine, but also by day is the makeup designer on a really massive Apple comedy in its second series, Ted Lasso. You might have heard of it. Hopefully you've watched it. If you haven't, you will do after you've heard this. We've been so lucky to be joined by Nikki, who has joined us literally moments before she was going to bed. Before she had to have a very, very early start. In fact, she has early starts most days. I think she was getting up and leaving at 5 a.m. So really grateful that she joined us and she shared some really exciting things with us.
How are we both feeling? What's going on with you today, Luciana? Good day, bad day?
It's been such a testing week, another testing week, really hard month, but such a silver lining today because I've been so moved by seeing all the photographs and videos of people going to get their vaccine. And then I got a picture through from my mum where she was waiting to get her vaccine today. And I just, it like reduced me to tears and just kind of reflecting on like, you know, that as a planet, we've come so far in less than a year to even have these vaccines that, you know, we learn that like, you know, more than 500,000 people are, like, you know, getting vaccinated every day. You know, my parents haven't been able to spend time properly with my kids, you know, with us, grandchildren, and just knowing that, you know, in just a few or probably will be a few months time, and when my dad gets vaccinated too, that we'll be able to come together again as a family. So you know, some brilliant news, and just filled me with some joy after what had been a pretty challenging week. How about you?
Well, we're recording this on a Sunday evening, and I'm always a little bit fried on a Sunday. I find Sundays in lockdown or through the pandemic particularly challenging because although usually they're quite testing days in as much as there's lots of different things going on. Everyone's got different classes and there's football and there's dance and then there's birthday parties and then there's a football match or whatever it might be. At least there was a structure. Today, my whole family was still in pajamas at 2 o'clock and I was just like, what's going on here? I got to that point where I was like, I need to see you dressed. We need to leave the house. I don't know why we need to leave the house, but I felt that real reason, urge to just say, well, there are only a few things we're allowed to do at the moment. We've got to do one of them, which is go for a walk. So at 3 o'clock this afternoon, finally got the family out of the door. And actually, we went for a very nice walk in Hadleywood, where I've never been walking before. So it was definitely worth it. And now I'm feeling actually almost relieved that Sunday is over. The day's gone. As much as I love a Saturday, I find Sundays just slightly interminable and also very very like domestic. I've got two washes on today. I've done a bit of bulk cooking for the week. I've made a soup, roasted some vegetables that I'll mix with various different things. Anyway,
bulk cooking, I mean, I have to commend you because I've seen those videos on social media where people like bulk prep their meals for the week and I'm like, those people are like on another plane to me because, you know, I don't know how on earth you find the space, time, and also space in your freezer or fridge to accommodate those wonderful, neat little,
you know. I don't want to overstate the extent of my bulk cooking commitment, but I get delivered on a Sunday morning. And actually, this is my favourite thing about a Sunday. I get an odd box delivered on a Sunday morning. I don't know if you know what this is. It's when it's like a collection of fruit and vegetables by this company. And they talk about rescuing fruit and vegetables that wouldn't have made it to our supermarket store for whatever reason. They're leftovers, they're seconds, they're not as beautiful as some of the stuff we might buy in supermarkets. And I get it delivered. And I actually find it quite an inspiring open because I love seeing what I've got in my odd box. And it usually kind of prompts me to make a thing on a Sunday that I will try and last for as many days throughout the week. So it's not quite that I get a production line going, but I do try and make like usually a soup or something with something from my odd box on a Sunday after I've done my online Zumba class.
I always find our chats about food really inspiring because I don't know if you've, well, I can think of a few partnerships where there's always like one friend who's like the he's great on the culinary side, who kind of like waves the flag for cooking, and then there's the other one that doesn't, and that would be me. And so like you always kind of enthuse and really motivate me to want to try and cook, and then I do it, and my husband complains. Or in fact, sometimes my kids complain and reject my meals. So he must try harder.
I mean, there are times. If ever there is a time where you want to drop an F bomb at a child, it's when you've bothered to create them a meal and they've just been really difficult about it, and you're just like, oh, don't eat, I don't care anymore. I do like cooking, actually, and I'm a good cook. I'm a competent cook in the kitchen. What I've actually found a little bit of a shame is I feel like I really cook now all the time out of necessity. I never try anything new. I kind of churn out what I know I can do. I can get it quicker. I can get it faster every time I make it. So I do feel like I'm doing meals a bit on repeat at the moment. I'm not really making anything exciting. That's enough from me about what I've been cooking. That's how Luciana and I have been feeling the past few days since we last connected on this. We hope that you've had a good few days, that you're managing well. If you know anybody who you care about who's got the vaccine, and hopefully that means a lot to you and is starting to seem like that light at the end of the tunnel powering you through whatever it is, I hope you've found these last few days to be manageable at worst and wonderful at best, if that isn't all possible at the moment.
We're going to be sharing with you in just a moment just some of the things that we have like grabbed onto that have just helped us through the last few days, and maybe they might help you as well, or you'll just laugh at the things that are getting us through. But before that, we were absolutely delighted to have a chat with Nikki Austin from the comforts of her bedroom before she was just about to go to sleep, before having to get up super early in the morning. She is the makeup designer on the second series of Ted Lasso, a fantastic Apple comedy, and this is what she shared with us.
Thought we'd just start by kicking off saying, how are you?
I'm well. I'm quite lucky because I get to go to work every day. My hubby and I both are getting to go to work every day. My family are all well, thank goodness. My kids, well, my youngest is still going to nursery every day because she's early years. Just about made that. My oldest is homeschooling, and life isn't that abnormal for us at the moment because in our job we work such long hours that we don't really get much of a life outside of work. My working day is very different, but actually in terms of like a social life, I don't normally have one when I'm on a job, so it's not actually that different.
Yeah, and how is it going with having a child at home with homeschooling and you being out of the house all day? Because presumably in usual times that child, what's that child's name? Let's not talk about as a
Alfie.
Child.
Yeah, no. Alfie.
Alfie would usually be at school. So he's at home doing homeschooling. And how's that going?
Yeah, it took a while to get there. I mean, it was a bit of a slow start, I'm not going to lie. We've got no pair, which is amazing. So he's not on his own. The school have been amazing, getting everything up and running, but it did have teething problems. You know, with kind of the laptop and the whole Google Classroom situation. Luckily, I was here when he started it. I was still not working. And now he kind of just gets on with it. They're in a routine. He knows his first lesson is going to be at 9 a.m. So he gets out of bed. It's not the same by any means, especially in terms of kind of, you know, the normality and their mental health of just going to school every day and being surrounded by their peers and all that kind of routine and stability. But in these times, you know, he's making the best of it. He's loving life, not having to get up and go to school and put on a uniform every day.
How do you manage like all the logins and how does that all work?
Well, it was a nightmare to begin with. It was like done on three different platforms. There was the Google Classroom, and then sometimes he was Zooming, and sometimes he'd have to. We have two different apps. I have two different apps on my phone. I have EduLink, where some of the teachers, you know, choose to set the homework. Some of them don't. Then their form teacher would say, you've got a class meeting. It's optional. And then I had this other app that they were using as well, this Google Classroom. So I'd get messages on both apps. I'd be at work and I'd be getting various. And then Alfie kept missing classes. And so and it was, at first, I must admit, it was very confusing. But like I said, teething problems. And now he seems to have got his head around it. I feel terrible for kids that maybe don't have the, you know, the Wi-Fi in place, the technology, a lot of kids didn't have laptops in the beginning. So kids were just absent from his lessons. But I think the school have been great. They've given out laptops. The teachers have been really on it with the kids that maybe need to still come to school. And that, yeah, it's taken a while, to say the least.
And how have you juggled that with, obviously, you just started on a really, really big job. You know, you're now working on a really high-profile show. Before we get onto the COVID bit, you know, what's it like doing your job? Can you tell us all about it?
It's certainly not, I suppose it's probably not a normal job in most terms, but it's a privilege. I get to make a living doing a job I love, especially in these times. I work with very talented people, which is a pleasure. I get to witness amazing moments with the people I work with. Talent are just like us, actors, they're parents too. A lot of them are struggling with home, you know, they've got kids at home and they're trying to fit in their hours as well. But yeah, I feel really lucky I get to do my job, and especially now because it's taken so long to get filming up and running again, and it's been such a scary time for so many people. Filming in itself isn't really ideal during a pandemic, so it's gone through a lot of changes. And then on top of that, I've had the kids at home and all the homes, you know, I'm trying to prioritise. You know, you need to quickly get your talent ready, but then also you also need to kind of log on to one of your kids' apps and get them their, you know, their Zoom link so they can get them into their maths lesson at the same time. It's like, which do you drop first, kind of thing. It's a bit crazy.
We were talking the other week about how shows have been disrupted because of COVID, and some of our favourite shows were like waiting with bated breath to find out when they're going to come back or when production's going to start. Because presumably, as we all know, that a lot of the television production or film production is really, as you say, disrupted by the pandemic. But I would say that maybe the most in your bit of the world, I mean, the application of makeup by its very nature is up close and personal. So how has your work life had to adapt to this pandemic? So you're back on a project now. How are things different to how they would be usually?
Oh, completely different. My workload's doubled, basically. I think, you know, the great thing about productions are that they're all taking it really seriously. You know, they didn't go back because they had to have these measures in place in order to be able to keep everyone safe and to be able to carry on. And they, you know, they wanted to get that right in the first place, which was really good. In my case, I mean, I'm probably the worst department to be during a pandemic.
Compliant.
Yeah, that's the word. Because we have no choice. We cannot socially distance. So generally you walk onto a set, everyone's socially distanced, everyone's in PPE. In my case, in my production, we're all tested 2 or 3 times a week. Some productions test every single day. So you can't come on into the studios, you can't come onto set, onto location, unless you've had a full COVID test within the last 24 to 48 hours. And in my guy's case, my makeup artists are all obviously bubbled to their talent. We're all in full PPE. We're all wearing shields, which is obviously challenging in itself because you can't see makeup very easily when you're in a face shield. And there's just so, you know, hygiene was always essential in my role anyway, but now it's you know, it's critical. And it's, you know, cross-contamination, things like that. It's just brought a whole new dimension to my, I've now got, you know, all my makeup artists have to social distance between each other. So whereas normally I would have one big truck with all my artists on, I've now got them spread out over 4 different trucks and 2 rooms. You know, it's adds a whole new dimension. We've got screens in between our places. Nothing's left out on our worktops. Everything has to be put away, covered, wiped. I mean, my hands are sanitized 50 times a day as a minimum. it's a very different job to what it was, I have to say.
I've had my makeup done just a few times. In advance of like going on TV, and like, you know, normally makeup artist gets like really into your face, like really close. Like, how do you navigate that now that you've got obviously you're, you know, up close and personal to your talent, to your artist? But if you're like going in between different actors, like how does that work? And does it actually mean that you can't like apply the makeup in the same way if you're not really close to someone's face?
No, you have to just get in there. That's why we have to test. So my lead on Ted Lasso is Jason Sudeikis, and he has a whopping great big moustache, and it's all his, and I have to trim it every day. I have to get in there. I'm wearing a proper PPE. I can't just wear a face covering. I have to wear an NK95 mask, and I have a face shield. Obviously, he can't keep his mask on because I'm applying makeup to his face. But that's why we're tested every other day, so we know we're clear. And we're just constantly, you know, washing our hands, sanitizing our hands, wearing PPE, and we're getting on with our job with safety measures in place where we can. But then I wouldn't be making him up and then making someone else up as well. I'm just dedicated to him, and that's how we kind of limit the track and trace and the cross contamination. We've got an on-site laboratory on our job. So if there's ever any doubt, anyway, yeah, we're no expense spared. And we also have to, you know, we have to get temperature checked every day. We have to fill in a pass card on our way into work to say we've got absolutely no symptoms. They are extremely, you know, on it, very, very strict with, you know, trying to make sure that we stay safe. And today, touch wood, you know, obviously we've had cases, but we've nipped them in the bud, and there hasn't been any cross-contamination. It's all been very well managed. We have a dedicated COVID team who are phenomenal. There's many of them, and they're looking after us.
You mentioned that there's no expense spared. Like, you know, what are the additional expenses you're having to consider or include now, and like perhaps budgets that you didn't for series one?
Gosh, it's so much more. Well, for starters, there's no kind of sharing of product, you know, whereas before, you know yourself, when you're on set, your makeup artist will come up to you and spray your hair, comb your hair, you know, give it a comb, and she might move on to the person next to you. She might give it a quick wipe, but use the same can of hairspray and maybe the same comb if she's giving it a quick wipe with a barberside wipe. That doesn't happen now. Every single artist has their own product. They have their own bag. They have their own, you know, you can't share anything. It's just not. And actually, in between each person, you have to obviously cleanse your hands, you have to change your mask, you have to wipe your face shield. It's a lot of extra expense, but that, you know, when it comes to people's safety, you have to, no expense spared, I suppose. It's important. It's still
fun. You say this is the thing. You say your work has doubled, and you've just given us a very good insight into why that would be, and yet you sound remarkably cool with that. I mean, like, I guess the balance of being able to work and do a job that you love has outweighed the extra stress or responsibility or kind of hours or whatever it is that you have to do. But you just seem very all right with that.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I've actually been back at work. I did a job before this. I've been back at work since September. And in that job, we actually weren't doing the makeup. We were kind of instructing people and telling them what to do themselves, because back then it was all so fresh. And that was incredibly frustrating. I mean, it was hilarious watching the men doing their own makeup. It was just, you know, cack-handed, trying to watch them hold a brush, you know. It was hysterical and often disastrous, don't get me wrong. So I'm just feel really lucky that now, like, I actually get to do the makeup. It's a real privilege doing my job. It's hard and it's long hours, but it's also so fun.
For anyone that might not have watched it, what can you share, and, you know, just in a couple of sentences about, you know, what this Apple comedy series is all about?
It's about an American football coach who comes to London to coach a Premier League football team, not knowing anything about football. And it is, you know, I've worked on many, many jobs. Like I say, it is absolutely hilarious and it's so heartfelt. And if you can't relate to an episode of Ted Lasso, then you haven't lived, because there's something for everyone in the storylines. It's so beautifully written. And it's charming, and, you know, everyone just falls in love with Ted. Jason plays him so brilliantly. We've got a phenomenal cast. And I don't know anything about football, and I still think it's brilliant. I still know nothing about football, despite being two seasons in. And I think if anyone, you know, needs a bit of cheering up and they can spare $4.99 for an Apple TV Plus subscription, give it a binge. And they're half-hour episodes as well, so it's not like, you know, not too much.
It's great because it is you know, I love the half hour shows, because
I couldn't agree more. Actually, I think a half hour show is really, really key, because there are evenings where you're happy to get into something serious and others where you just want to plow through something a bit lighthearted that just doesn't take too long, and you might not have that long. And actually, one of the things, Nikki, that we're doing on this podcast is a kind of listener's digest of everything that we're doing to get us through what we're eating, drinking, what we're watching. So you've obviously just done a massive endorsement of Ted Lasso. But when you come home after your full day on set and you kind of spent time with your kids and you have a moment before you have to think about going back to bed for your 5 a.m. get up. What's your release? What's your kind of your poison or your tonic, if you like, which isn't Ted Lasso because we've spoken mm-hmm. about that, but it might have changed because it might have been, you know, going out or seeing your friends, but it, or as you said earlier, actually you didn't have much of a social life when you're on set. But what's kind of keeping you going? What powers you through?
Do you know what? You'll laugh. Through lockdown, I don't know how many times my husband and I watched reruns of Friends. I don't even know. I must have watched it
no
every day.
Laughing. We're all with you.
It was like it was on every day, all day long. So I think I've rewatched the whole back catalogue of Friends. I did Schitt's Creek as well, which I absolutely loved. That was
big fan.
Oh, I loved that.
Massive fan. Yeah,
I did a lot of box sets, to be fair. But Friends, it just never gets old. And then to cap it off, I bought the like the Trivial Pursuit at Christmas because I thought I've watched so many episodes of Friends, I'm going to nail this. You know, like the Friends special edition. Absolutely useless. Me and my au pair, who watched it for, you know, all through lockdown, 10 episodes a day, back to back, still couldn't care. They were such intense questions, like so bizarre. You would literally, I don't think even the writers would have got those questions right, to be fair. But I do like a board game. I do like a card game as well.
Any other top tips other than the special edition of Trivial Pursuit?
We ate a lot. We did a lot of cooking. I baked a lot of cupcakes with my little girl. Like every other day, we were baking cupcakes.
Cupcakes from scratch?
No, don't be silly. You know, the boxes, like we did Toy Story, we did Minions, Paw Patrol, you know, the fairy cakes that cost like...
Yeah.
I don't do
baking. I think that's one of the themes of this lockdown, actually, that's distinct from last time. There was a baking frenzy, I think, that happened last time when it was kind of like, oh, we're in our houses, what are we going to do? And even though it's the winter and it does lend itself to baked goods, my sense is that people can't really be bothered. I mean, I personally... can't. I've lost any kind of love for fighting for flour. I don't care.
No, from scratch, I'm just not that person, to be honest. That's just not me. Why put yourself through it when you can go and get a nice, you know, packet of Betty Crocker brownies and they taste just as good? It's just not me. It's not what I'm about. I'm quick and easy. Apart from when it comes to hair and makeup, obviously, then I take the long way around. But cooking's not really my thing, to be honest. We've had a lot of takeaways. We're supporting local business. I'm working 14, 15 hour days. So actually, when I get home, to be honest, I go to bed. I'm up at 5. And last week we did nights and we were out filming till 11:30 at night on the side of a riverbank. Not ashamed to admit, I put my electric blanket on, which is such a must. I know, right? But when you've been filming outside, it's like the most amazing thing. Put my electric blanket on and get as many hours in as I can before my little one tends to call out and say, can I get in your bed? 5 hours after I've got to bed. And then my alarm goes off an hour or so after that.
That is a good bit of surviving and productivity on what sounds like quite a small amount of sleep. So I take my hat off to you for that. It's pretty impressive.
It is the nature of our job. You know, people don't realise, but next time you watch a show and it's dark outside, think of the crew. And when it's raining as well, we're all sat there in the rain, like for the love of our job and to bring you all the entertainment that you need. That's what we do.
And we are forever grateful.
It's been so interesting talking to you. I love hearing about the world of makeup artistry, especially mm-hmm. because I haven't actually applied any myself for about 10 months. So maybe I should go and have a play. I've been re-inspired.
A lot of people haven't. The cast have come, when they came in, they hadn't had their hair cut for however long, and they hadn't had this and they hadn't had that. And they're all so grateful to be back at it and getting their hair and makeup done and getting haircuts legally. They love it.
Gosh, that was so great hearing from Nikki, and super interesting actually just to think about how all of the production elements, particularly in the world of makeup, have been affected by the pandemic and making everything COVID compliant. And it really did make me think, like, all of the stuff that's going on around in the background that you don't even have to consider. And I haven't obviously thought about makeup for a long time because I haven't really worn it for a long time. So it's also inspired me to crack open the old foundation and see if I can remember how to personally groom myself. But that was really great, actually. Really interesting.
Super interesting. I am wearing perhaps as much, if not more, makeup because I feel like I'm on so many back-to-back Zoom meetings and team meetings. It's very, very up close and personal. But hearing what Nikki has to go through and like the extra space and, you know, separate to this chat, she's mentioned to me previously like her extra steps because she's like running between the carts and the different, you know, just the physical elements of having to go like backwards and forwards and changing the PPE and. Yeah, it's extraordinary to hear, like, obviously, like, the additional lengths that she now has to go through. Rebecca, earlier you talked about your odd box. I've heard about this odd box, and maybe I should look into getting one myself. But in the absence of having an odd box of vegetables, thinking about what's been getting me to this week, and again, like, you know, for anyone listening, this may or may not be of any interest to you, but I am going to the supermarket at this time. I don't go often. I try and go like in you know, just do it in one short, you know, one big trip. But I'm like being obsessed with vegetables. And that my new kind of like interest. As I've already pointed out, you know, I'm not the best culinary expert in the world, but certainly like I'm trying to eat more veg as like my kind of move to be healthier. And I'm also a big fan of Aldi. And my thing that I'm really into is they do these baby cucumbers.
Baby cucumbers. Are great because actually snacking on veg is obviously better than snacking on things that aren't veg. But often veg is like big, so they're a pain in the neck. You wouldn't snack on them because then it's like involving a knife. But actually a baby cucumber, it's great.
Yeah, revolutionized my life. And my kids love it too. So, you know, like dipping it in like cream cheese or peanut butter, or it's just something other than a piece of bread.
You can't dip cucumber in peanut butter. That's disgusting.
It's delicious. Absolutely. Very nice. Refreshing.
My Siri on my phone just picked up from that. I don't think that she agrees either.
But on the occasion when I go to M&S for a treat, I've also discovered samphire. This is a very posh vegetable. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, samphire is like, it's very MasterChef samphire, isn't it? You eat it with your grilled sea bass or sea bream or something like that.
Or just your cod or salmon, but you know, in our efforts in our house to eat like a lot more fish, samphire is like a really nice kind of salty veg that again is a veg, and it's just something a little bit different with some lemon juice as well. So,
although it doesn't fill your mouth enough, that's the problem with samphire. You kind of like, you want, I like vegetables that you can kind of get a good portion of. Something about samphire, it's a little
that is thin. True. That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
It's very salty, and I love salt. So. And it's not, I don't think it's bad as actually eating salt. So for all those reasons, I'm a big fan. The other thing that's getting me through, and you know, everyone will sympathize with this, is obviously the explosion in leisure wear. And I've now become like obsessed with finding like the best leisure wear, the best comfies. And so much so that like, you know, my whole like wardrobe is like diminished now. Just, you know, I'm living in leggings, I'm living in baggy trousers. I put into like zippy bags, like I've stored away now like all my smart clothes and my work clothes.
God, that's like, super organized. I have literally three things that I wear on rotation, and that's been the case for basically 10 months. They've just got a bit warmer recently, and I open my cupboard every day, and I haven't done anything with all my old work clothes. But I was literally looking at some stuff, and it's like I've not worn these for nearly a year. What are they still doing in my cupboard? Will I ever wear them again? Like blazers and blouses and jackets and tailored trousers. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more about the, so I don't know if I've quite got into the loungewear, if I've just gone totally, I've taken shabby chic to a whole new level. I'm all about the shabby.
Well, perhaps for another time, but one of the other things that's really kind of got me through, and if you know, if only to like get me to like go for a walk and go to the post office, is that I've been like selling things on eBay, and it's just like been like a little hobby, but a lot of, like most of the stuff has been clothes that I've just haven't seen the light of day and I'm just never going to wear again. So you know,
well, good for you. That's quite productive.
Well, it's also, I'm like really into kind of recycling clothes, and I found myself like buying a lot more secondhand clothes, or you know, people that have bought something that, you know, they wore once, and because, you know, we send a lot of clothes to landfill.
Has definitely made you think, or made one think about, we've got too much stuff. I mean, I don't know if you feel this, but just generally particularly with clothes, but in other things as well. There's all this stuff that we've got that actually turns out when your lives are shrunk and narrowed, you don't really need them. And there's something quite cathartic about clearing it out if you manage to get around to it, which I haven't, but I have big ideas about doing a major clear out. Lockdown 4.0, that is going to be the time where I finally sort out my cupboards or not.
I think it's bit by day. Like I do a lot of work professionally in the area of sustainability and climate change and how we can, you know, businesses and big brands and big companies can be doing to make a difference. And I suppose it's kind of because I'm living and breathing it through my job every day, it's kind of really focused my mind even more than it was before. So I'm really like looking at what more I can be doing to just play my part and do my bit.
No, that's great. And I think that there's been I've become much more aware just being at home of small things that I can do in terms of like using less plastic and where I can be recycling much better. And I feel that I am definitely much more plugged into that than I have been, and actually is one of those things that have been afforded more headspace to think about, and that has definitely been positive.
Thank you so much everyone for listening to us. Please share any feedback that you've got, we'd love to hear it. Any top tips off the back of any of our areas of conversation, do get involved in the conversation. We're having it on Instagram at the Close Quarters Podcast and on Twitter too at Close Podcast. Look forward to speaking with you all again soon.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.